Let's put a song so you can sing along with a special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme Song, yeah!
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is bestie returning guest of the pod, Aaron Choi, everyone. Woo!
Good morning, everyone.
Oh.
Hello.
Oh, listen to that microphone.
Hello. Yes, I have returned. I'm back in the land of Chicago.
For now.
And I have my for now.
For this recording.
And I have my things. Yes, for this recording. And I have my things with me. So I was able to pull out my old podcasting mic. And pre-recording, I was saying that I had a short-lived podcast during the pandemic that was theater themed, called Restore from Anus, a theater podcast.
You should put it back up.
Maybe if I can, like, I saved all the episodes. I just have to put them back out. But it was supposed to be lighthearted, and then it ended up being very, like,
trauma.
Deep conversations.
Of course.
Well, not even trauma, but, like, deep conversations. Like, there was an entire month where I did a episode per week. So there was an entire month that I gave to just that was themed. I had months that were themed. So I did an entire month where I talked to trans performers about their experiences about being trans and how that's been with them trying to traverse a performing career.
Yeah.
And then I also did an entire month about body image in theater and like the fallacy of a Broadway body and a lot of that. And I did an entire month of where I just talked to Black actors and called it Acting While Black and talked about their triumphs and tribulations in working in theater. So it ended up being like kind of heavy. But then also in October, I did an entire month where I just talked to people about like haunted theaters and their experiences about with ghosts in theater. So that was fun.
We have to put a pin in that. I have to talk to you off air about something dealing with that. But today,
oh, yeah,
we're here to hopefully not have a heavy conversation about the 2018 West End pseudo revival of Wind in the Willows. It's weird because they did it. I'm reading on the Wikipedia page that they did it in 2016, but it was a tour, and then it went to Broadway in 2017, and in 2018 is when the filmed version came out. Yeah. So do with that with what you will. The book is by Julian Fellows, music by George Stiles, lyrics by Anthony Drew. It was directed by Rachel Kavanaugh and Tim Van Semeren. I'm hoping that's how you pronounce his last name. And according to IMDb, a toad, rat, mole, and badger get up to hijinks in this lovable tale. I've never heard of this. I've never read the book.
Yeah.
So watching this, I was like, okay, this is a family show. I get it. But what is it about?
Yeah. So I did not grow up with the book. So I knew nothing about the book. But I do remember tangentially seeing in the cockles of my memory, there is a Disney VHS that I remember watching that was, I believe it's the Adventures of
Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Ichabod and Mr. Toad. And it is basically two Disney animated shorts. One is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow with Ichabod Crane. And the other is a short that's just about Mr. Toad, like Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which is what the dark ride in Disneyland is based off of.
Oh,
and this is, yeah,
yes.
so that's what, that's the
Okay.
very base knowledge I have on Wind in the Willows is this psychotic toad. That's all I knew about Wind in the Willows. And
Who's a toxic
that's it.
friend to everyone else?
Toxic friend. I have, y'all don't know this, but because you can't see it, but I have a notebook. Every time I come on this podcast, I write down notes. I take copious notes of how I'm feeling during
Yep.
the watching of this. And there's, we will get into it, but I have many little notes about things.
The amount of times I wrote down, like, why are you friends with Mr. Toad, everyone else? He's so toxic.
The amount of times I've written down, Toad is the worst type of friend. And he has no redeeming qualities. Like,
no.
Even to the end of the show, he has no redeeming. He's not
no,
really...
when they force him to be like, what have you learned? And he goes, nothing.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, is one of the most truthful things, one of the more truthful, like,
right, but
portrayals of
when you're
friendship.
The protagonist, he's the
I don't think,
protagonist,
no,
right?
he's not the protagonist. He very, this whole thing is very much not about Toad, even though it's kind of about Toad. And what makes it harder in this production specifically is I believe the guy playing Toad is a bigger name in West End theater.
Yes.
So they kind of focused around him a little more. But honestly, the show is more around
Mole and Ratty
Mole
being
and
in a
Ratty.
relationship.
We will, I'm holding off because we will get, once we get to it, but before we go there, I just love that. I, first of all, Julian Fellowes, do you know who Julian Fellowes is?
Besides the writer? No, I don't think I know.
Julian Fellowes is the writer. He's the creator and writer of Downton Abbey, the creator and writer of Gilded Age. Like, it is very, it is kind of wild that he is this writer for these big, huge named like
yeah,
movies
he
and TV
also
series.
adapted the Mary Poppins for the stage as well as School of Rock.
Yep.
So
He's,
shit.
He knows what he's doing. So,
yeah.
And like the writing in this is very good for like a family show.
But
Like,
I'm still confused as to like what exactly is the plot of this?
Here's the thing. I think, and listeners can correct us, but I'm pretty sure this is what the book is that it's just more kind of vignettes about these characters.
Yeah, I was reading on the Wikipedia page for it that so this is what it says. It details the story of Mole, Ratty, and Badger as they try to help Mr. Toad after he becomes obsessed with motorcars and gets into trouble. It also details short stories about them that are disconnected from the main narrative. So when I read that after watching it, I just went, oh, that makes sense now. Because we have because it inevitably takes place in the course of a year.
Yes.
And
yes.
And we have songs that depict the season, but they're just so random.
Yeah.
Yet
they
beautiful.
Are also,
they're beautifully done.
They're also probably my favorite way of how they like show the seasons changing, because they're not,
yes,
they're, the nice thing is they're not incredibly long songs. They're pretty short little bits here and there. Granted, there are some other songs that fully need to be cut from this. This entire show does not need to be the length that it is. Like, it is
a
100 and like, it's not
it's
quite
2 hours and 11 minutes, according
yeah.
to Broadway HD. But that also includes their end credits, which is probably what, like a minute? So it's
yeah.
2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
With an intermission.
With an intermission, which they don't, obviously they don't show the intermission, but like, this is a long show for like a family show. The West End, the UK, definitely this makes sense.
If it were to
the
come
US,
to America, though,
listen,
we need
the
to cut
US
some
would
stuff
never, the US could never,
right,
could never.
Because in the London theaters, I'm imagining at the interval, they're all having their ice cream and everything because they fucking have ice cream over there, everyone.
Yes.
Pisses
Yes,
me
yes,
off.
yes, yes.
but I imagine that, like, and it says that the novel is more of like a British.
Well, yeah. Yeah. It's very
Yeah, it's
British.
very big, but like big in Britain, I should say.
Yeah. It
So
is
it makes
very
sense.
much, yeah, it's very much something that I don't think a lot of American children grew up with. At least not our generation of American children. I know that it definitely was something that I think my parents grew up with
Potentially,
more.
yeah, because it came out in 1908. So, like, it seems like it was. It could have been like our grandparents even grew up with
Yeah.
it, and then our
Yeah.
parents, and then we had the Berenstain Bears.
Yes,
Berenstain?
we had
Berenstain. Oh boy.
Berenstain, Berenstain, whatever the
Whichever the one
Mandela
is.
effect, whatever.
And Dr. Seuss.
We had that, but I mean, Dr. Seuss was also very early too, but we had more. Let's see, what's something. If we want to talk about it like a British import, we had like Paddington. That's what we had.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we did.
We
But
did.
like watching this, gotta say, it is nice and everything, but I just still am like I was in awe that it took almost an hour to get to a point. Cuz it
Oh,
was
yeah.
like a these series of unrelated events. I mean, yes, Mr. Toad is in a lot and we get like a slow introduction into him because of like we first meet him, he's on the speedboat, then he has the car, then he steals a car. Like,
But we don't get introduced to him properly in this show until like almost 15 minutes into this show.
oh yeah, when we go to
When he speedboats through, like it's after like three songs, like, and
yeah.
then we get introduced to him,
Yeah,
and it
Speed is
is,
of the Essence is the third
yeah.
song, and that is his first one.
Yeah. And he's not even singing it. He's just, they're singing it about him. And you just see him. But before we get into that, so Julian Fellowes, phenomenal writer,
Oh,
knows
yeah.
what he's doing, even though this is a, like, Wind in the Willows arguably is, there's not too much of a point to it other than like friendship, like doing things for friends,
Right,
like
friendship.
is, listen, we all have dealt with those toxic friends.
Oh,
We
sorry.
have
I thought you
all
were talking
dealt
about
with
Mole
them.
and Ratty.
Oh, no, that's a
No,
whole nother
we're
thing.
not there yet. We're not there yet.
Not there yet. But
But we're talking about
anyway,
the friend group at large.
The friend group in general at large,
Right.
like it is, yes. But then Stiles and Drew, if you don't know, they also wrote Honk. They adapted The Ugly Duckling into the musical
Now
Honk.
everything makes sense.
Yes. If you know Honk, you can hear their style of music in this, although I honestly think the music in this is much better than
My
Honk.
God, yeah. Like
Like the music in this is gorgeous.
spring, like when they start with spring, it doesn't sound like a traditional opening number, but it's so fucking beautiful.
It reminds me of, the only way I can describe it is it reminds me of Bambi in a weird way. Like specifically like the rain sequence in Bambi, where it's very much about like the songs like Drip, Drip, Drop, Little April
Oh,
Showers.
right. Yes.
But it
So it's been
reminds
a
me of,
minute since I've seen
yes,
Bambi.
but it reminds me of that because it's very like just not the song, but like just the sound of the song reminds me of just how beautiful Bambi is and like the nature scenes. Like it does what every good musical theater song should do, and it really like A, kind of paints a picture,
Right.
and B, is just so unique because it doesn't sound like a typical big musical theater Broadway opening.
No, it's not an opening number by any means, but it is.
It works so well for this because it is also our first establishing season.
Yeah.
And that is something that goes on through this. But I love the
can we segue into their designs?
Yes.
Character designs?
Yes, 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 yes.
Because, okay, we're in a world of animals, as I read in the IMDb. I'm not 100% clear. There's like one point where they're talking to Badger where it feels like animals are in control and there are no humans left, but I don't know if I misheard or if
No, there's also, there's some weird, like,
I don't, animal like the judge, I don't know what.
Human. Well, the car that Toad steals is stolen. He steals it from a human. The wash woman that breaks him out of jail is a human. The lady on the barge is a human.
Okay, because I thought we were in strictly a world of animals.
No, if you would go back and look at it, none of them have any characteristics of animals the way that all the other characters do.
This is weird, then.
It is super weird, but I also think that's the way that The Wind in the Willows is. I believe, and if I remember correctly, that's the way that the animated Disney film is like, too, where there's both animal, like, anthropomorphized animals and humans.
I think because it's all humans playing, like it's live on theater on stage. It's not like an animated movie,
yeah,
or a TV show or something like that, where like you can play with the size. So
yeah,
when you have like a 6 foot tall person who's playing an otter standing next to somebody who's supposed to be a human, I'm like, I don't know what's what anymore.
Yeah, but I think honestly, in this case, I don't think it matters.
But the design of the animal characters, oh my god, it was beautiful. Like it's minimal because like they could go full out, you know, with like character makeup and big ass crazy wigs. Yes, Toad has like a green crazy wig and a green crazy mustache, but like that's because it's Toad, you know. It was just fascinating to be for somebody who does work in costumes to be like, that's interesting choices that you made of like the otters are wearing bathing costumes. Like I don't think I would have thought of that. Ratty looks like a sailor because he's supposed to be a river rat or something like that. Yeah, so like the fact that they just like painted their noses to be the animal is just enough, you know. They didn't need anything else.
I notated that I say absolutely love the design, both set and costume design.
Because
set also is very simple, but super effective and beautiful. But also that's part of the lighting design too, because the lighting just made that set look amazing. But the way that they do the willows is just beautiful. It's just so pretty. And I love the costume design because, again, it's minimal, enough that you establish what the characters are. And I love that they give some of these characters like specific anthropomorphized like costuming that goes along with
like the horse wearing taps.
Yeah,
tap shoes.
The horse wears tap shoes. The
swallows with their capes. The capelets.
The swallows are
they're supposed to be flight attendants. Yeah. But like the
little,
fact that they
like,
have
they have capes. They have
wings and everything.
They have little hat boxes that have a swallow logo on them, which I thought was super cute.
Oh, adorable.
The field mice with their like thick not Burberry coats, but like the like winter type coats that just look all like cozy, and very like country.
Although there were moments where Mole who's played by Craig Mather, the way that they like did his hair and what he was wearing, I was like, is he supposed to be Mark from Rent?
I mean, kind of, but I also love that because they make him, he's supposed to be kind of antisocial because moles are antisocial and can't really see well. So that makes sense. But then also I just love the giant glasses that they give him. I wish they would have made them a little easier to see sometimes because
like a thicker frame or something.
Yeah, mostly because I just think from a theater standpoint, sitting in the audience, there are times where film wise, I forgot he was wearing glasses until they were pointed out sometimes.
And
because
see,
when they zoomed in, it was great because it really gave that idea of like a mole with these giant
right
eyes. And I was like, great. I love Badger's design. Badger was very kind of this like curmudgeon-y old man that like stays, but ex-military, which I think was even better.
Yes. He had a military coat and everything. The weasels, I feel like they took inspiration from Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And they took that from Roger Rabbit, but also kind of the idea of like used car salesmen and door-to-door salesmen and con artists being those like weaselly types with like the slick suits and things of that sort. Like their decisions were so good. I also love that a lot of the ensemble otters, not the mother otter and Portia, the daughter, but all the other otters, they also had like
mustaches?
Little mustaches.
I fucking
this
love
is adorable.
That.
I love this so much.
And like the fact that they also kept true to, so the book came out in 1908. It was first published in 1908. So I think that's what they were also going with costume wise to be like, we're sticking to a period.
Yeah.
So
the period is very,
yeah,
it falls kind of in between the early 1900s and like the 1930s.
30s. Yeah.
They kind of play in that.
Right,
because
the weasels are definitely in like a zoot suit kind of a thing, which is more 20s.
Yeah.
Well, so, and another thing that I liked keeping with the characters is that it felt like they did just personify the character, the animals. It's not like it's interesting because they weren't playing animals. Like, you know, crawling around on all fours or scratching themselves the way that they do every once in a while, maybe, but not all the time. And I don't know, as an actor, like if you were like told to play an animal, like would you rather do what they did or go the opposite end and
no,
go full animal?
100% do what they did. Like, I love that they personified each animal type.
Yeah. And like, they kind
so
of, it seems like, I don't know if this is writing, directing, or the actors, or some healthy combination of the three, but it felt like they figured out, you know, okay, so field mice are a little skittish, so like we gotta be a little skittish, but not always. The only one that is completely not of whatever animal it is Mr. Toad, because he is very selfish, very self-centered, very headstrong and everything. So
he's the only one that stands out, and it also makes sense with the character that he's not personified in kind of the world of animals, I guess, because he doesn't want to be part of that world, which kind of ties into the idea of like humans kind of being there too, because he's is one of those where it almost feels like he doesn't want to be known as an animal. He wants to be known as this rich, affluent kind of person or non-animal. I don't know what he would consider himself, but
because it works in his favor that he doesn't like hop around or something like that.
Yeah, he's very much does what he wants to do, and I love that that's the way they took that character, because it makes him stand out, which makes sense for the show.
There was a moment where he offered Ratty and Mole lobster, and I was like, You killed a
I
friend.
mean, we have there are moments where I'm like, so are fish not part of this world?
No, because
Because like even
they're
Portia
with
has this,
Ariel under the sea. It's
well,
fine.
I mean, even Portia has this thing, and this was a cute little detail that I just loved, is that Portia, the one, the like daughter otter, she would come in with like little, like it's very common in the UK, but little like paper bags of like sweets, and she'd be eating those, and they'd be like, she'd say they were like this little minnow or something like there, and it was like Swedish fish or things like, it was very cute, like it was a small detail,
Yeah.
and I fucking love tiny details like that. I just love them.
I was very confused though by her name because everyone else is named after the animal that they are. Mole,
Yeah.
Ratty, Badger, Mrs. Otter, and she's Portia.
Honestly, I think it's just a way to make it easier to just discern from different characters,
But
because what
I would rather like Olive or something. So this way you're
yeah.
playing as well with like the first letter of the animal that she is.
I guess so. I think it's again, I don't know the book, so this could be something that's in the book
That's
too.
true.
And so it's like, I don't know. But also I'm just kind of like, I'd rather her have a name and not be Daughter Otter.
True. Yeah, like the field mice or
The field mice, the one field mice, his name is Tommy, and he can't hold up the lantern, and that just made me laugh so hard. And I have notated, we'll get to that, but I've notated like, Tommy, hold the fucking lantern. You've been told 3 times during this song.
Okay. Are we here at the gay part? You want to talk about
Yes, let's
gayness?
talk about the gayness.
Well, so first of all, before we get into like our reading of it, there is a couple. I remember in the beginning, there's two rabbits
Is a
that
rabbit
are,
couple, yeah.
yeah. I was like, gays, gay representation. And then
Yes.
we get to messing about in a boat. The song.
Yes, the song, which before we get into this, generally, I think this entire show is just so fucking charming.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
everything is charming, and there is such innocence to it. And we should preface, like,
We're old ladies.
we are old ladies, and we like, but at the same time, we're putting, when we say, when we what we're about to talk about, we're kind of putting this on them.
It's the Bert and Ernie
It
complex.
is the Bert and Ernie complex, because I think from a different view, this would not be seen as a potential relationship. But I
No,
mean, maybe
the way that they act, it feels like they are a couple.
it could, I mean, they say it in that Mole's been staying with Ratty for like almost a year, which is a whole nother thing. But I think we're thinking about it as adults, based on adult relationships,
Because we're
whereas
seeing
like,
adults
'cause we're seeing
playing
adults
these characters,
playing
yeah.
these characters. So I think y'all just kind of take it with what it is, but let's get into it.
They're so adorable.
They are adorable and very much the Bert and Ernie kind of complex. Like Ratty is very much Bert. Mole is very
Yes.
much Ernie. Ratty, okay, I notated this and I said, why am I weirdly attracted to Ratty?
And I had to look him up and I was like, oh, straight.
Well, yes, but he's also very attractive. Simon Lipkin is his name, who plays
Yes.
Ratty. He's done a number of things in the West End. He's yes. I also wrote, I'm going through my notes, and I also wrote, I'll mess about in a boat with that rat actor.
So I wrote in Messing About in a Boat, I wrote, are they gonna fuck? Haha, just kidding. But are they?
But are they?
But are
Because
they?
here's the thing. Also, that's probably one of my, like, I'm skipping ahead a little, but that is probably one of my favorite songs in the show, including Spring. I think both of those songs are so cute and so great. But anyway.
Because the way that the two of them bicker and like when we get into. So, okay. Mole is staying with Ratty for like 6 months. And apparently Mole forgot where he lives. I don't remember him saying that at the beginning. It just seems to come out of nowhere. But that's just my take on this.
I think the way that it happens is that Mole emerges from his house during Spring, meets Ratty. Like, Mole is just, Spring has happened. He's come out. He's seeing all the other animals.
He's come out in more ways than one. Heyo.
He's seeing all the other animals, meeting all the other animals, because apparently he hasn't done this before. And so, and then he gets pulled into, while he's exploring, he meets Ratty and is like, hey, they jump into their relationship real fast because they apparently do not know each other prior to this.
No, but like, and see, I thought the show, because when Mole meets Ratty for the first time, gives goo goo eyes to him, and Ratty tells him, you know, like what's beyond a certain point in the woods and everything.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be the show, that they were going to go to like the beyond and everything. I didn't realize it was going to be like a series of vignettes centered around the seasons.
I mean, they do go to the beyond us. I mean, they go there. And that,
like,
happens.
I thought that was going to be their whole adventure.
Oh, that was the whole thing. Yeah.
Not like them going to save Mr. Toad's ass and everything.
Well, I mean, they go to the Wildwood to find Badger. That's why they go to the Wildwood.
Oh, right.
They go to find Badger, and then the Wildwooders take over Toad Hall when Toad gets arrested. We've skipped ahead a lot, but.
It's fine. We're following the way, the structure of the show, really. If you think
fine.
About it.
But Ratty and Mole are adorable together. The actors have such great chemistry together, too. Like, very good chemistry as both friends and probably lovers in the way that we're seeing it.
Yes.
Because I was like, they're clearly becoming a couple. And then once we get to the fact that Mole has stayed with Ratty for 6 months, when we like skip ahead in the seasons, it's like, oh, y'all are just like together. Like, y'all are together.
They're, you're just roommates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Cause like when we get to, where is it called again? The Wassailing Mice. Like, and that's when they find, Mole found his home and everything. Ratty is like, making house and everything. He's, you know, like, let's start a fire, let's decorate because it's Christmas, question mark. I mean, yes it is, but like,
yes,
they don't say it in the show.
Yeah. But as we continue with their relationship, it is very clear, at least in my eyes, is very clear that Ratty and Toad may have been a thing at one point because of how
Toad talks to Mole,
how Toad talks to Mole, as well as how Ratty has such indignation towards Toad. Like, we have helped you before. I've done this before. There is history between
the two of
him
them.
And Toad. And he even says that there's history between the two of them, but they never go into it. Because at one point, I say, is Toad a jealous ex?
That makes sense now.
Because, like, Toad doesn't really acknowledge Mole, like, ever.
Except for that one scene.
Except for when they're on the open road. When he's trying to, like, open road is when they try, like, Toad. Open road just feels like this whole thing where Toad is using Mole to get back to Ratty.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to talk about that scene where Mole is supposed to watch Toad, and like that's really like their own scene together.
Well,
like
yeah.
alone
yeah,
on
yeah,
stage.
Yeah. I didn't know. I get that scene. That scene for me is just kind of meh, whatever. There's a lot of scenes in this show that I'm like, this can be cut. This can be cut. This can be cut. This can be cut. This can be used as one line and cut.
So when Toad escaped, I'm just going to jump ahead here. When Toad escapes from prison and they sing To Be a Woman with Gowler's daughter, who I'm assuming is a human.
Yeah. Here's the thing. That entire song can be cut. They don't need the song.
I don't know what I'm supposed to be feeling during that song.
I don't either. I don't understand. First of all, this laundry woman, I'm like, are you interested in getting with this Toad? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, there's a lot of characters that just pop in and are like, I'm a deus ex machina. I'm here to help the movie story along.
Yep. But that whole thing can be cut. Like, that whole thing with that whole song can be cut.
Yeah, it could just be like Toad escaped as a washerwoman, and then you see him on the boat.
That can be cut. The whole chase scene can be cut because that was way longer than it needed to be. The whole boat thing with the washerwoman on the boat can be fully cut because it doesn't need to be there either. We can cut that entire section of the show and it'd be fine.
I feel like this show needs to be like Your Good Man Charlie Brown, where it's just
the show
a
needs
series
to be,
of vignettes.
The show needs to be 90 minutes long with an intermission. That's what it needs to be.
Without an intermission, I feel like.
I would put in intermission only because this is a family show and you need an intermission for kids to go to the bathroom.
Ah, true, 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 true. There it is.
So, also, asterisks for American audiences, because clearly British audiences can handle this 2+ hour musical with families and kids just fine. American audiences could never.
Will never.
So Toad is, so going back, we're jumping back again. Toad, when you get introduced to Toad and we see Toad and fully get to experience Toad, he is the worst. The absolute fucking worst.
Even when he's on trial and he's trying to defend himself and the judge is even there like, you just admitted your guilt. Like,
he is fully, and throughout this, like, I had little notes, like, he's gaslighting, he's manipulative, he is legitimately the narcissistic friend in, like, the friend group that you're like, why are we friends with this person?
Right, especially, like, these people, or these characters that we meet, because, like, they all don't like him, and they say they don't like him. But they're all like, let's go save Toad again.
It's only at Mole's insistence because Mole doesn't have history with him.
I feel like at the end, Badger is at least like, let's save Toad again. Fine, we'll save him.
Yeah. But all of that is because Mole really came in and was like, listen, he has been your friend in the past. I'm a new friend. And I think that as friends, even with all the stuff that's happened, we should still care about him, which I'm like, Mole, you're adorable, but what is
Mole,
happening?
I get it that you're new to the friend group, but we've got stories and history with this person.
We have history.
They are destructive and they need to do what they need to do. I did ask, right? Is this towards the beginning of this, when I still had no idea what the fuck was going on, I was like, is this just going to be a children's version of Cats?
I mean,
it kind of is, really, when you think about it.
Kind of in a weird way, yeah.
Because, like, where's the bird one? One swallow does not a summer make. I was just like, this was a prime example of, like, here are three characters. You will never see them again. You know, like, we are introducing ourselves, and you will never see me again.
Yep. Although, here's the thing. I just love those songs, though. I think just the way that they did The Passing of Time is just so cute, having these little songs.
There's
I
also
love them.
some moments where I don't think they adjusted the lights for the cameras. So there's
No.
like a lot of darkness happening,
Yes.
vis like lighting wise, that you're like, I can't see anything. I know
Yeah.
that I know this is for the paying audience, but me, the one at home, can't see anything.
Yeah.
Oh, and even that, I even in the Whistling Mice, to go back to Mull and Ratty, I in all caps, I just shouted, "You cannot tell me that Ratty and Mull are not a couple."
Yeah. And on that, their first big fight that they have, I was like, heartbreaking. I'm like, no, they're fighting. Why are they fighting?
Man,
It
god
very much
damn.
was one of those where it's like, no, they're fight. No, don't fight. But then when Ratty comes and saves Mole from essentially being murdered and eaten in the Wildwood, I'm just like, y'all are a couple. Like,
Oh, yeah.
Ratty comes in and saves Mole. And I love that Ratty comes in as this like big monster, and it's all boat stuff. So it's like a net with like buoys on it, and
Right.
he's walking on. It's so,
And then
again, the details in this design are so great.
even when they take back Toad Hall, the Mr. Toad's mansion? Question mark.
Yes.
They use the paper figures that they decorate
Yep.
Mole's home with as like some weird shadow puppets. I was like,
Yep.
that's pretty smart that that's what you're using.
Sorry, we're jumping around some, but like Toad is still just the fucking worst. I do love his big song that's about him. Is Mr. Toad or the Fab? I can't remember. Whatever the name of the
Toad's Big
song is.
Entrance.
No, it's a song. No, it's the
Amazing Mr.
song
Toad.
The Amazing Mr. Toad, where he's getting his car, because that's when he gets his car.
Yes.
I was like, first of all, hate Mr. Toad, but love all of his costumes.
Oh,
Like
yeah.
all the driving suits, the everything, the like the green plaid, the like all, oh, it's perfect.
Of course, there was a fucking jetpack at the end.
Yes, because why wouldn't there be?
Why not?
Because speed is of the essence. He has to have the newest, brightest, shiniest thing. Okay, this is definitely something that is a British thing. But it distracted me. In that song, The Amazing Mr. Toad, when he's mimicking the sound of the horn, he says poop poop. And me being the child that I am, I cannot hear that and not just be like, why is he singing about poop? Why can this not be poot poot? But even if you say that fast enough, it still sounds like
It's poot
poop
poot.
poop. Yeah.
Poo poo.
Which is funny because I watch this with captions on because I like to double
And it
check
is
to make
poot
sure, like,
poot.
it says poop poop, but it's inconsistent because there are other times where it says it'll be like POOP, POOP, and other times it will go POOT, POOT. I'm like, which is it? I need the script now because now I
Yeah.
need to know which this is.
So I usually ask this at the end, but I want to ask this now. If you were in a production of this show, who would you like to play if you had any
Mole,
choice? Yeah.
100% mole. Mole is who I am. That is who I am.
Because you want
Like,
scenes with Simon Lipkin.
yes, I want to mess around in that boat with him. Although here's the thing, I think I could play both Mole or Ratty. I think I could do both.
I like, you know what I, so besides him being hot, I like that they didn't have Simon Lipkin cover up his tattoos.
No, because that makes sense for him being a water rat.
Right, but also, like, it's an interesting thing because there's still, like, a stigma against or about tattoos when you're doing theater, depending on characters that you're playing and everything. But, like, he clearly has a long sleeve shirt that they could have been like, keep the sleeves down. We're hiding your tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, it goes with the sailor, but also, like, it's him. Like, we're seeing the person.
Yeah. I just love, they do such a great job characterizing these animal characters. Like, it's wild to say this, but for a family show, this is so well acted. Like, so well acted.
Yeah, because I don't think that they're like, I think they're playing for everybody. I don't think they're like, this is a kids show.
Yeah.
Be wacky and silly for kids.
I mean, the character who's wacky and silly for kids is Toad. Like, that's who it is. But then all the other, but that makes sense because all the other characters have to be grounded because they have to pull Toad back into reality. But, like, there's just, like, they play it as these very, like, sincere characters and very honest. Like, the moments that Mole and Ratty have together where they like their first big fight, and then when Ratty comes and saves Mole, and like it is, there's some great moments.
This was so I was watching this at work, and there were moments that I had to like pause it for a lengthy period of time, and then I came back to it, and I was like, oh, I'm not really missing the flow or anything of this show. It makes sense.
I really love Badger's character. I wish Badger was in the show a little earlier because
with
we
some
really
cuts,
don't.
We can make that happen.
Well, yes. Badger, there's a lot of stuff in this show that I'm like, as you said, we need to get to the point a little faster, or get to a like sub point a little faster.
Because it's like 50 minutes in, and all of a sudden we're like, oh, this is about Toad.
Okay. Yeah, although let's be honest, Toad is the villain in this entire show. Like, Toad's the villain.
Yeah.
Because,
even the weasels, like, the weasels are whatever at that point.
The Wild Wooders are not the villains. They are there because they're viewed as the villains, but Toad is the ultimate villain.
Do you have anything else, though, you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat? I mean, we could leave it at that. That's a heavy... It's a heavy
yeah,
take.
I mean, oh, I just there is a song. Well, we'll get into those things, but there is a song that has to be cut because it doesn't make sense, but it makes me laugh so hard because it's ridiculous. It is the hedgehog song. There's a scene with four hedgehogs that just have to cross the road. They just have to cross the road. Is an entire scene, entire song, and at the end of the song, they decide not to cross the road and try tomorrow. And I'm like, this is so stupid that this is in this show because it does nothing for this, but it is hysterical.
A lot of the songs that you want to cut, or you're talking about cutting, though, it feels like they're there for like a quick change or something. Like they're disguising
but
something.
I don't think they are.
I
That's
don't know
the
what
thing.
They're there for. Yeah. Because they
I
never
think
change.
They're just.
Toad is the only one that has a costume change, really.
Yeah.
And
the
Portia.
Others, I mean, the others just add like coats and scarves and things when it changes
but,
the weather.
But the ensemble has plenty of time to change from the different characters that they're playing. So it's weird. Anyway, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
We shall.
Sharp Flat.
So in this segment, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it, or thought it could change, it's flat. What do you want to start with?
Let's start with sharps, just because I always love starting on a high note.
You want to start on a high note. So I sharped the character designs as we fawned over them. They were smart. That's the only thing I could think of, because, like, you know, Mrs. Otter has There's very few wigs I'm noticing in the I noticed in this, and Mrs. Otter was one, but like they kept it nice and like motherly, but also like she had the simple nose makeup, so it was subtle but effective. Or yes. Sorry, it was minimal but effective, I should say.
Yes.
I also sharp to how the humans don't act like animals, like they're animals. Maybe some ticks here and there, but I didn't really clock that much. This one's totally dumb. I sharped Mother Toad's portrait because it's shitty Photoshop that they put in camera. And you're like, it works on stage, but now you're going to have a zoom in on it in a camera? Like, fuck. It looks bad, but so good. And then my last sharp really is for the bows. I liked that they kept it in their character families. I thought that was cute. I mean, I guess that's like part of family children's theater style of like bows, but I thought it was adorable.
Yeah.
What about you? What were your sharps?
I mean, my biggest sharp was Ratty and Mole's relationship. Like, come on. Adorable. Yeah. Like, fantastic. And specifically more so, like, just the chemistry those actors had together. Like, I have seen shows where there are supposed to be like actual like relationships between characters that have zero chemistry.
Oh yeah.
Do not work. This is a family show, and these two characters that are friends slash more than friends
with benefits,
they had so much chemistry and so much genuine feeling for each other, at least how they portrayed them. That's it, which is a sign of a good actor. But that I sharped that. I sharped specifically the opening. Spring is probably one of the best openings of
a
musical.
Yes, I will agree with you on that.
Sharped that. And then I also sharped, and I talked about it already, I also sharped because it was just super funny during Wassailing Mice, the mice yelling at Tommy, the tiniest mouse, because he can't hold a fucking lantern. And they literally say it three times in the song. It's like, Tommy! Like,
Tommy, lift your lantern!
Tommy!
Get Tommy, together, can you hear Tommy. Me? Any other sharps?
Nope, not anything else that we haven't already sharped.
Great. Okay, flats. My first flat is that it took about 50 minutes to actually get to a plot. Because I was just like, if this is going to be a 2 hour long show where an animal comes in, sings a song about what they are, and then leaves. Fine, that's cats, but like I would rather that be established early on than it being feeling like there's a story and there's not really. I flatted Chief Weasel's tattoos. At one point, the Chief Weasel is not wearing his jacket and his shirt sleeves are rolled up, and you're seeing like really fake tattoos on his arms. I was like, why are they there? We don't need this. We don't. As much as I love the costume design, that one I was just like, what is this? What?
Yeah.
Why?
It wasn't needed. It wasn't needed. It was.
And I had to look that actor up too to be like, this is fake, right? I mean, it looks fake, but I want to make sure it's fake.
Yeah.
And it was fake.
I think it was just a way to make them supposedly look bad, like bad people, but I'm like, that doesn't work. Like, this, we already get who they are. We've already established that they're supposed to be the villains, even though Toad is a real villain,
right? We don't need scary tattoos.
We don't need scary early 2000s tattoos.
That looked like tiger stripes, weirdly, and you're like, you're a weasel, though. And then my last flat is for the final choreography, and we're taking over the Hall reprise.
Yes.
When they had the sticks. I don't really remember it because I watched this a few days ago and it's black. It's slowly leaving my memory, but I feel like they were just like, like doing weird herky jerky choreography. And I was like,
yeah,
we could have done something better here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like it should be cut. I'm like, we should have workshopped something different. And that's really it for my flats. What are your flats?
My flats. Toad, the character. Not like not the actor, but just the character. I fucking hate Toad. Toad is the worst. He is the villain of this piece.
A lot of the beginning could have just been cut.
Yeah.
And we could have just started with Toad and painted him more as the villain.
Yeah.
Or as the antagonist of this piece.
Yeah. And here's the biggest thing. Like, I think this, yeah. So we'll get into that. But Toad, flat. Some of the songs that I felt unnecessary, like To Be a Woman, I flatted because I'm like, this is doesn't need to be here.
I wasn't sure at some point during that song, if it was supposed to be like for the panto crowd.
Yeah. Yeah. but here's the other thing that I flatted, and I think it's just a production thing and is based on the actors that they had playing certain roles. I flatted the fact that Toad got the final bow. I don't think that the role should be the final bow. I think Ratty and Mole should have the final bow together because the show is really about them.
I think, like you said, though, it's because...
But I think it's because the actor they had playing Toad was the biggest act, like the biggest named actor, quote unquote.
Yeah. Like I'm looking at his stage credits, and I mean, he was in the Manchester Opera House version of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. He's been in Don Quixote a bunch of times playing Sancho. Mm-hmm. He was recently in a Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum in Paris. So he's pretty, I mean, pretty big.
He's done a lot. He's done, yeah. From when I remember seeing this, I'm like, oh, he's at the time when this was filmed, when this was being done. He definitely had the bigger credits.
Yeah, because he is definitely, like, he was one of the few people who were part of the UK tour and then also the West End run.
Yeah, but yeah, so first of all, I would love to direct this show. Well, I want to be in this show. I want to be Mole or Ratty, but I also want to direct this show and, like, cut it down, make it more... Unfortunately, and I hate saying this, but make it more palpable for American audiences because, unfortunately, American audiences can't sit through.
Yeah, because I'm a dumb American. Show. So,
overall, I really enjoy this show. It's super cute. It's long, but it's super cute. It's definitely one of these shows that I definitely have listened to the cast recording of this a number of times because I just love some of the music in it because some of the music is just beautiful.
And speaking of, would you add any of the songs to your life's playlist?
Spring, for sure, because I definitely have listened to that a number of times. Specifically when it's springtime in Chicago and things are like finally getting warm and budding. It's like spring. But then also Messing About in a Boat is just a fun song. I would add that to my life's playlist. I don't know if I'd add that to like a... I was going to say, I don't know if I'd add that to like my Let's Get It On playlist, but I think it's funny to think about that. Messing About in a Boat.
Oh my goodness. You cheap devil.
But I think out of all the songs, also I think I'd add the Wassailing Mice just because I think it's a cute little song. like around the holidays. I'm like, this is adorable.
I wrote, I agree with you on spring and the wassailing mice. I also added one swallow does not a summer make, and a friend is still a friend.
Oh, yeah.
Of the harmonies, still a friend for both sure. Of them.
Yeah.
Like when the three swallows come out, I was like, this is a beautiful lyrical song mm-hmm. that I would love to listen to.
And let's be honest. Well, I mean, between the two of us, let's be honest. One swallow definitely does not a summer make because, you know, June, Pride Month. There's going to be a lot of swallowing.
Oh, my God.
Do not cut that out.
We've somehow, I'll fucking make that a quote if I have to. We somehow turned something that's sweet and innocent into something so dirty. And I'm glad that we're done with the episode at this point.
Yes, because I don't think we should stop while we're ahead. Let's end it with the fact that this is an adorable show.
Yes,
some phenomenal acting, and the design is just chef's kiss.
So Aaron, what yes. do you have to plug or promote?
I will be doing Young Frankenstein as Inspector Kemp and Ooh. The Blind Hermit. I will be in Rochester, New York at Jiva Theater.
And if you have any ideas on how to, like, I don't want to say fix, because the show isn't broken. It's just, like, to alter it, to, like, help it a little bit, because it's a great structure and everything. I just feel like there's just something about it. So if you, the listener, have any ideas, Aaron has some already, on how to, like, update, how to, like, move the story along a little bit. I'd love to hear about your thoughts. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. Or, I mean, it's been, what, almost 8 years since this, like, premiered, so maybe the rights are out there. If you've been in a production of it, let me know. I'd love to hear about it. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we're going to be talking about the 2006 version of The Magic Flute, and you know who's the guest on that one if you've been listening. Haha. Aaron, thank you so much for introducing this one to me. I mean, although I am still very confused as to what exactly it is about, it's still mm-hmm. like a lovely little number, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Yeah, this was fun. You're coming back soon, so don't you worry, everyone. Aaron will be back on the pod. Woo!
Yay!
Yeah. And everyone, thank you for listening, and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Troy for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.